Good morning. It is my privilege to be able to bring the Word of God to you this morning. If you would turn in your Bibles to Ecclesiastes 3, the first 14 verses. If you are using the Pew Bible, it's on page 1037. Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 through 14. There is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What do workers gain from their toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart, yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it, nothing taken from it. God does it so that people will fear him. Thus far, the reading of God's word. Beloved, this Sunday marks the end of the 150th year of Memorial Church. Throughout this year, we have looked at the many ways God has poured out his grace upon Memorial and kept the people of this church strong in their commitment to following his word. Through his gracious work of his Spirit, Memorial has, from its founding, been a place where people of different political, economic, social, and racial backgrounds could come together as the body of Christ to worship God. In those 150 years, the people of Memorial Church were impacted by the very same things that affected everyone else in American society. In those 150 years, there was the last year of the Civil War, Reconstruction, segregation, the westward expansion, the great influx of immigrants in the late 1800s, the technological revolution at the start of the 20th century, World War I, the Roaring Twenties, Prohibition, the Great Depression, World War II, the Baby Boom, the Korean War, the 60s, Vietnam, and so on down to today. Did you hear it as I read through that list? Times to plant and uproot, build and tear down, mourn and laugh, hate and love, and so on. Everything our passage speaks of is in that list of historical events. And each of these events brought its own set of major social, political, and economic, not to mention cultural changes, Like every other institution in society, each individual church, including Memorial, had to make decisions about how to respond to those changes. Beloved, we look at verses 1 through 8 of our text, and we know from our own personal experiences that these things do indeed repeatedly come in these pairs, and there is a time, often several times, for each of them. And usually when the time for one of these pairs come along, we perceive one half as bringing joy and the other half as bringing suffering and struggle. Now, if we are honest with ourselves, we will admit that we walk more closely with God in those circumstances when we can easily see the end of the road of a change process. In those situations when the end is in sight almost from the beginning, we believe that if we just keep putting one foot in front of the next, we can expect to reach the end of the struggle in good condition. But we also need to admit that in those times of change, when neither the end of the struggle nor the ultimate benefit to be gained is readily in sight, and the Holy Spirit simply says to us, "Trust me. I know where I am taking you, and I know the right way to get you there. Trust me. Keep moving forward, one step at a time as I lead you." We need to admit that in times like those, we tend to become rebellious. We question God's love for us, his care for us, his faithfulness to us. We forget his promise. In Deuteronomy 31 and in Hebrews 13, "I will never leave you or forsake you." We forget his assurance to us in Jeremiah 29. "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." Beloved, the same pairs of events found in verses 2 through 8 in our passage today that come into our personal lives also come into our life as a church. Some of the changes come in such a way that we can see the benefit to be gained even before the process starts. But there are other changes that God works in the church that require both a broader and a long-term view. It is as if we were walking in a large state or national park and we become wrapped up in the beauty of our immediate surroundings, be it some ancient stand of trees immediately around us or a beautiful meadow or clearing we have just come into. And we find we are more than willing to do our part to maintain the beauty of that little area around us. We see the immediate beauty, and it is easy to forget the entire mountain we are standing on is also covered with trees. And that mountain is but one of many that make up a valley which the whole forest fills. Our immediate surroundings, which we can look at close up, have a beauty that declares the glory of God to us. But so do the broader views. It is just that they're not as always as easy to see as what is right in front of us. Now, beloved, please understand, I am not the patron saint of the broader view. I easily become fixed on the trees and ignore the forest. In my sinfulness, I become quite self-absorbed, wrapped up in my own issues, seeing how my immediate surroundings impact my personal comfort and sense of ease. But in those times, when by God's grace I am more yielded to the work of the Holy Spirit, in those times, I get a glimpse of the bigger picture of what God is doing. And in those moments, God gives me a breathtaking view of what he is doing in the whole forest. Now, beloved, it is somewhat obvious that the health of the forest depends on the health of the trees. But it may not be so obvious that the health of the trees depends on the overall health of the forest. And it is that aspect of God's work, the health of the forest for the good of the trees, that I want to focus on, especially here at Memorial. Beloved, the vast majority of churches have one or two things that are consistently true about their group personality over time, and Memorial is no exception. I have been worshiping here at Memorial for just over 31 years. When I first walked in the door, I felt immediately at home. I knew nothing about the trees, that is, the individual members of the church, but the forest was beautiful. There was a vibrant community life among the members here. Even all those years ago, this was a church where people liked to hang around after the service and talk and build a deeper sense of community. Over my 31 years, that has never changed. The credit for this, of course, both 31 years ago and today, belongs to the gracious work of the Holy Spirit within us, because then, as now, Memorial is made up of sinners saved by grace. But through the work of the Spirit, the people of this church, both in tough times and in easier times, have always had a deep desire for deeper Christian community. But as our text points out, the reality is that most things do change, and change substantially. It is impossible to cover in detail all the types of change mentioned in Ecclesiastes 3, so I will mention but one or two as examples of the rest. In those situations in the life of the church where we can easily see the final outcome of the change, the stresses on the church are usually small and can be handled quickly. And we can readily identify those who will be adversely affected and need to be ministered to. These quick, small, clearly defined changes are necessary to keep the smaller, more defined aspects of church life, that is to say, the individual trees of the forest, healthy. But we must also remember that quick and small does not always mean painless. Even in these situations of small, clearly defined changes, we need to yield to the work of the Holy Spirit to lead and strengthen us through the process so that our actions take into account the spiritual and emotional needs of those around us. The other kind of change is the broad, long-term change that impacts wide areas of the church, the lives and ministries of many in the congregation, and whose hope for final outcome can only be dimly seen until the end of the process. Beloved, the scriptures say in 1 Thessalonians 5, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ for you. This attitude of rejoicing in God's goodness, praying continually for his leading and provision, and thankfulness for his faithfulness and blessing will help greatly in times when we face major change. Otherwise, we may be tempted to say to ourselves, I just don't want to deal with this. I have enough other problems in my life. This is a disruption I can easily avoid. I will find another church where everything is running smoothly. Beloved, the statements about times and changes in Ecclesiastes 3 are stated as what is called universal absolutes. That is, they will happen to all men, everywhere, at all times, no matter where you may go to seek things running smoothly. There will be change, and it probably will be substantial. As long as you have a realistic opportunity to remain at the church you are attending, and that church and its leaders are true to the Word of God, I want to encourage you to remain there even in times of major change. For as we shall see in a moment, the rewards of doing so are great. Now, before you accuse me of trying to guilt trip you to remaining in any particular church, I am fully aware of the realities of life in 21st century Western society. We live in a highly fluid society. We move about for many reasons: changes in jobs, changes in education, fulfillment of a heart's desire. Some are reasons of necessity or practicality. Some are for education or for changes in family situations. Many times those moves will, in fact, require you to change churches. That's just the reality of the society in which we live. But sometimes you have a choice. Sometimes it will still be possible to attend and be actively involved in the church you are in even after your move. So you have to make a decision. Stay with your current church, or look for one a little closer to where you now live. There are obviously pluses and minuses to either decision, but today I want us to look at some of the advantages of choosing to stay at one church as long as God's providence allows. And while I will be using examples of things out of Memorial's history, the principles apply. No matter where God moves you to live. A few moments ago, I mentioned that when I came to Memorial, I compared it to a forest. I said I knew nothing about the trees, but the forest was beautiful. But a forest is a complex entity, and many things, large and small, can stress its health. Not long after I got here, a division arose among the members of the congregation. The particular matter is not relevant. It is a long-dead issue. What matters is how it was handled, how it affected the people of Memorial, and what God did through the process. On the positive side, by God's grace, the matter was never allowed to enter the times of public worship. Worship was for God, a time to praise and glorify Him for who He is and what He has done for us in Christ. It was not an opportunity to press one's personal views on other matters. Also positively was the continued desire of the people of Memorial to build their deeper Christian community. But in the end, those positives were not enough. The division over the issue became too strong and too heated. Those on the opposing side could find no reconciling common ground. All attempts to resolve the issue failed, and the congregation split. Some of those who left maintained personal friendships with those who stayed, and some did not. In the words of Ecclesiastes, a time to tear down had come. And in my prayers in those days, I asked, Lord, what is going on? What are you doing? And the only answer I got back was, trust me. Watch and see what I will do. So over time, I waited and I watched. And God began to build the congregation back up again, bringing in whole new sets of people. And I watched God's work in growing the congregation and how he maintained it within it the same continuity to a deep Christian community, and the congregation grew closer together. And as one looked around the congregation and talked to them, there was a clear sense that, in the words of Ecclesiastes, a time to build up had come. So that in less than 10 years, do you know what happened? The time to tear down came again. The congregation split again. Once again, as we sit here today, the particular issue is irrelevant. It is long dead. But once again, what matters is how it was handled. Again, by the grace of God, it never entered the corporate worship. And again, the desire for Christian community remained strong. But in the end, again, the positives were not enough. And the congregation, finding no reconciling ground among the factions, split again. And again, in my prayers, I said, "Really? Lord, again? God, if there was something that needs fixing, couldn't you do it another way?" And again, the only answer I got back was, "Trust me. Watch and see what I will do." Beloved, you see, as Christians, as brothers and sisters in Christ, it is possible to love one another and still have strongly different views on important matters. And because we have the Holy Spirit living and working within us, it is possible to come through very strained and stressful situations without breaking fellowship with our brothers in Christ. Nevertheless, the reality is that sometimes that breaking does occur. And God does not always explain why he is doing things the way he is doing them. He just asks us to believe in his goodness and wisdom and to trust him and to follow where he is leading us one step at a time. This is exactly what the scripture means when it says in Micah 6, "He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God." Beloved, it is only now, 30 years after the first split, 20 years after the second split, it is only now God, out of his pure grace, has chosen to let me see, to the extent my limited human intellect can grasp, to let me see what he has been doing through those times of tearing down and building up. Now, some of you may have seen it before I did. It may come as a surprise to some of you, but being ordained does not automatically make you the brightest bulb in the box. But if you want to see it now, just take a moment, right now, look at those in the pews in front of you. Turn around and look at those in the pews behind you. Then look across the aisle at the people in the other section of the sanctuary. You are what God has been preparing memorial for all these years. You are here. You are at the same time both a part of the unbroken line of believers in the true and living God, a line that extends back over the centuries, and at the same time, you are something totally new. You are that part of believers in this generation, a part of the generation that God has raised up to speak to the unique situations in our society today. The body of believers which I see here as I look out over the congregation this morning, is vibrant and alive with the desire to serve God in a way that will build each other up in faith and community, and which will also at the same time have a real impact for Christ in the social and cultural life of this city and the society beyond. And if 20 or 30 years ago I had chosen to leave Memorial for a more stable environment, I would have missed the joy of knowing you. I would have missed the joy of seeing your heart for the Lord and the gospel. I would have missed the joy of seeing the work God has done to fulfill his plan for this generation through Memorial Church. What God did for Memorial through those past times of tearing down and building up was bring to the surface things that needed to be improved, corrected, or eliminated so that Memorial could be ready for the people he was raising up to serve him now in this time. Why did God do it that way? As I said before, God never promises to tell you why. He has chosen to do the work he does. What God tells us to do is walk by his grace, and we will see what he is doing to bring glory to his name and blessing to his people. It is as our passage today in Ecclesiastes 3 says, he has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the heart of man, yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. The whys of what God is doing is generally not part of what he promises to reveal to us. Rather, we are to seek and see the beauty in what he is doing and long to be a part of it. But Pastor, you may object, isn't it incredibly spiritually prideful of us to think that what happened to the people of Memorial 20 or 30 years ago, all those hard times and broken relationships, was in large part for our benefit today? No. You remember how I said that we here at Memorial are part of an unbroken line of believers in the true and living God that extends back over the years? Well, assuming that the Lord does not return in the immediate future, that line also extends into the future over the years. If the Lord does not return soon, there is every possibility that several decades from now, another pastor will be standing in this very pulpit talking about what happened in Memorial way back in 2015. The times of building up and tearing down, of weeping and laughing, of scattering and gathering, and how those things way back near the start of the century were for the benefit of us now in the middle of the century to go and speak to the people of our time. Beloved, it is a simple fact that God builds upon every generation of his people, builds his work on work he has done to grow his people in previous generations. It is the intergenerational aspect of what Peter meant when he wrote in 1 Peter 2, you yourselves are like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood and to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Beloved, it is simply how God works, one person upon another, one generation upon another. Sometimes, beloved, the process of change described in Ecclesiastes 3 is confusing, and you wonder how to make sense of it. Well, as one philosopher has said, the only way to make sense of change is to plunge into it, move with it, and join the dance. Beloved, anchor yourself daily in the truths of Scripture, then plunge into the ebb and flow of change as God brings it to you. Move with Him through it, relying on His grace to sustain you in it, and join God in His dance. I tell you truly, from more than 30 years of serving here at Memorial, the joy of God's dance is worth all the changes you will go through. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray that you would open our eyes and cause us to see the blessings that you will bring to us through the changes that you are working in us day by day, both the long-term changes and the short, clearly defined ones. Open our eyes to see your love and your grace and your purpose for our lives and all these things. We ask this, Lord, in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen.
Amen.